Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome into another edition of the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley, joined as always by Carver Carls. We're here to break down the Texas A&M spring game, talk a little transfer portal. It's been active over the last week for Mike Elko and company as spring wraps up. Got an idea of what needs they still need to address, and they've addressed a couple of them, and we're going to certainly get into that. But got to start with the spring game. Carter, you were out there for the spring game, gladly stayed decently dry, I hope. It was a rainy affair. They obviously moved kickoff up by an hour to try to deal with the inclement weather coming. What you kind of take away, spring games are what they are. We talked about this last week, but what you kind of take away from getting to watch this team for the first time go through four quarters?
Man, okay, let's start with one thing first. And we can go by, you know, position by position or offense, defense. But probably the biggest, like, oh, wow, that was impressive, was Nick Scorton. Not that it was very surprising, but he really took over for most of that game. Now, obviously, he's not always going up against the best O-linemen with how they drafted both of the teams. There were some times where he was going up against Hunter Erb, who I'm not sure if he'll be in the 2-deep depth chart, but he got the best of Ruben Fothery. Shamar Stewart also got the best of Trey Zune. Mike Elko, after the game, talked about how that duo, Stewart and Scorton, is the best defensive end duo that they've probably had at A&M in a long time. You may have to go back to Miles Garrett and Deshaun Hall. And, I mean, it really looked like that. I mean, it wasn't one of these spring games where you just couldn't get anything out of it. They really did try to emulate a game. And so we've kind of expected this. Nick Scorton obviously led the Big Ten in sacks last season, second team all-conference. When we watched him this spring and based off everything we heard, I was kind of pushing the narrative that this is the best player on the team. This is a guy that could probably be a first round pick in 2025. And after watching him, I mean, I only became more confident in that take. It was really impressive. Just the quickness and the athleticism that guy has at 6'4", 280 is really impressive. Same thing with Shamar Stewart. So that was like the most impressive thing. I think the other thing that people took away just from an offensive overview, Connor Wigman, Noah Thomas, those were kind of the two guys people were talking about. Connor Wigman from the standpoint of, he's still not 100%. Broken bone in his foot last September, still hasn't fully recovered from that. Obviously, he's healthy enough to go out there and throw and move around, but you know, all spring we had heard, we had seen that he wasn't quite planting with that left foot. He wasn't quite as sharp as he usually is, and just not as comfortable as he usually is. And I think they kind of expected that going into the spring, but seeing that in the spring game for ourselves just was a reminder of, okay, yeah, he still has a little bit left to go in his recovery. Sounds like he'll be good to go by preseason camp, but obviously that will be worth monitoring. And then Noah Thomas, you know, we'll get into him a little bit later, but a really impressive performance from him. A couple touchdowns, had the huge 43-yard catch on a pass from Jalen Henderson. So, yeah, those are kind of like the biggest things. Nix Gordon, yeah. Shamar Stewart, offensive side, Wigman, Thomas. Obviously a lot more ground to cover, but those were kind of the big hitters, I think.
No doubt. And for those that missed it last week, we kind of went position by position looking through both sides of the ball. So I encourage everybody to check that out over on the YouTube channel. And if you listen to it on Spotify and Megaphone, it's there. The defensive line, I think, is a point that's certainly noteworthy, right? Because you look at the narrative this offseason, and I think, and you look at where things are coming out of spring ball, two totally different storylines, right? You look at coming out of kind of the transfer portal January into February, and landing Nix Gordon is a huge reason for them to feel a lot better about this. But you look at like losing Walter Nolan, you look at losing, you know, Isaiah Riggs and McKinley Jackson off to the NFL draft. People were kind of saying, oh, I don't know how the, you know, this A&M defensive line is going to look heading into next fall. It has a chance to once again be the absolute strength of this team. And you look at, you know, what they're going to be able to do up front. You talk about Shamar Stewart. You talk about Nix Gordon. You've also got Shamar Turner in there. You've got Gabriel Brownlow-Dindy, although he's battled some injuries and needs to stay healthy. You've got DJ Hicks. You've got, you know, just there's a lot to like about that room. And you know, they could still probably use a piece inside. We talked about that a little bit last week at defensive tackle. That's probably the one area they could probably address. But you look at what they're able to do off the edge, and then you talk about, you know, Cassius Howell and a guy like him and Rylan Kennedy. There's options there that A&M is going to be able to turn to. And so I think you come out of the spring feeling a lot better on that front. Obviously, Connor Wigman, it had been talked about. You know, obviously Mike Elko and Connor Wigman both said, you know, not quite 100%. It's going to take a little more time. But I think the fact, and we talked about this at length this spring too, the fact that he was still out there getting reps, getting game action is encouraging, because we talked a lot in the past years that guys would sit out or guys maybe wouldn't be participating. And for him to get out there and get those live reps and play in the game, I think is encouraging. It's a small encouraging sign about, you know, guys buying in and guys wanting those reps in practice and wanting to be out there. And then the final takeaway I had is, you know, you look at the secondary and it was such a mess last year and so many big plays that they gave up. And obviously not everybody was out there this time around. Des Ricks was not out there. But you at least saw some encouraging signs about attacking the football, driving on the football. You saw BJ Mays make a couple plays. You saw Marcus Radcliffe in on a couple plays. Bryce Anderson, obviously, in there. And Dalton Brooks had a couple nice moments as well. And so I think you start to see that work that they did in the transfer portal over the offseason, I think it's going to pay off in the end. And I think that group has a chance to be a lot more solid. Now, is it going to be perfect? No, they're probably still going to give up some big plays here and there and probably some room still to grow there. But, you know, I think you feel a lot better about the secondary and that room after kind of the numbers and where they've solidified things. And frankly, the competition there is going to be really fun to watch come fall camp, because I think you're still going to see, you're still going to see a ton more guys battling for starting spots and nothing's going to be handed to them. And so that's going to be a really fun battle to watch come fall camp.
Yeah. So going back on the defensive line, I really do think they have a chance to be the best in the SEC, just because I think you can make a case that multiple guys there will be first round picks, or at least high picks. I mean, I think Scorton's good enough to be a top 10 pick. Coming from someone who, you know, I used to cover Florida State, I saw Jared Verse in practice every day. He's going to be a top 15 pick in the draft tonight, most likely, maybe top 20, definitely in the first round. I think Nix Gordon's better than what I saw out of Jared Verse when I was covering FSU. And so, I mean, I just think that guy has the potential. He had 10 sacks last year. This could be somebody who has like 14, 15 sacks, just has a crazy, crazy year as long as he stays healthy. And you can't put all the attention on them because you got Shamar Stewart, as you mentioned, Shamar Turner. The interesting thing is, yeah, the you mentioned the D tackles, kind of the big, I guess, area, the weakness on that defensive line. They don't have really a lot of big 320-pound D tackles. And so you think, okay, well, this is a good group, but they might get run over up the middle. Well, sounds like what they're going to do is they're going to move Shamar Turner inside. He's not 320 pounds, but he is a second-team All-SEC guy moving in the inside. And then DJ Hicks, he's still pretty young, didn't just completely wow you in the spring game, but the coaches obviously feel extremely highly about him. He's a former five-star recruit. I think he's somebody that will get there. It's just a question of, is he there already? But you have two high pedigree guys up there in the middle, and then you've got an experienced backup with Albert Regis, another experienced backup with Rodus Johnson from Wisconsin, who I thought had a great spring game.
He did. Really, he did.
Really impressed. GBD, he's got to get healthy. He hasn't really been healthy since he stepped on campus a couple of years ago. So that's the big challenge with him. Secondary, I should have mentioned that too. Obviously, a couple nice pass breakups from B.J. Mays, transfer out of UAB, Donovan Saunders, the transfer out of Cal Poly. I just thought you couldn't take too much away from the secondary, though, because of the way that the teams were drafted. I mean, the receivers that Wigman had were not good. Like, their best receiver was Cyrus Allen, who I think will be a good player for A&M this year. But beyond him, I mean, there was nobody else. Like, Micah Tease is not going to be playing this year very much. So, like, you could argue that his top four receivers were not with him. Moose Muhammad, Noah Thomas. This is in no order, of course. Moose Muhammad, Noah Thomas, Jahdae Walker, Jabari Barber, I'm butchering his name. Four guys that I would consider your top four receivers were not on his team. He had, like, one or two scholarship tight ends. And I think he also had Reuben Owens as his back, and Le'Veon Moss had the better day. So that offense was just, they also didn't have Trey Zoon, their best offensive lineman. So, you couple that with the fact that he's injured, and the Maroon defense is pretty stacked. I mean, let's be honest, Trey Zoon, future NFL GM in the making, because that Maroon team was pretty stacked. So Connor Wigman, I couldn't take much from his performance. The receivers and the DBs couldn't take much from it. You saw flashes. You saw, hey, great for B.J. Mays, great play on that slant to Cyrus Allen. Hey, great job, Donovan Saunders, breaking up that pass over the middle to Wesley Watson. But you just want to see a little bit more. I will say, though, just based off what we've seen this spring, based off what we've heard, tremendous growth and tremendous job by Mike Elko with what he did in the portal to help that secondary. Because if they had just run it back and it was Javon Thomas and Sam McCall and Deuce Harmon and all those guys, like, they would have been in terrible shape. But now you're at a point where you've brought so much talent in that a three-year starter for you, Tyreek Chappelle, may not even be a starter for you in 2024. So, like, for me, I thought they did a great job adding talent in that room. There's still guys that we haven't seen yet. Des Ricks was out for most of the spring with an injury. Trey Jones, safety out of Central Michigan, he was out. He'll be in the mix for the starting job at safety. So, I love where the secondary's at. I want to see more from them. I don't know if they're a great, great, great secondary, but they're definitely better than they were last year. And that's where this team needed to take the next step forward. We can get in the offensive line too, but Andrew, you tell me what you thought about the offensive line in the spring game.
I thought it was an improvement. It's like we mentioned, it's hard to tell until you have that five that you're going to stick with. I was really encouraged, I will say, by the – and you talk about, starters and all that having to fight for minutes. I think there's going to be a heck of a battle, when you look at at the interior guard position, specifically come fall camp, that is going to be one heck of a battle, because you've got Armaj Reed Adams, who I thought showed some really encouraging things in the spring game, was in on that play, was kind of the block that sprung Reuben Owens on his big touchdown run. Thought he showed some really encouraging things. And you've still got Cam Dewberry, you've still got Chase Besantis, and where A&M goes there, I think, is going to be really interesting. And you know, is and you look at the center position, and we can get into that, because obviously that was kind of the big news over the weekend into the early portion of the week, with A&M landing Utah transfer and Shorty goes by Coley Fowell, who had 8 starts, I believe, last year for Utah at center, bring him in to compete. And that's probably going to be a battle between, you know, Coley Fowell and Mark Naboo for that starting center spot with Bryce Foster, should I say, entering the transfer portal on Wednesday. I think that was one where it was kind of clear A&M and Foster were probably going different directions. Obviously, Foster was removed. You reported earlier in the week it was not a part of the 2024 roster early in the week, and was not with the team during spring ball, as he was kind of focusing on track. And so, you know, that's going to be a fascinating battle to watch at center. And it just goes to show that there's going to be competition there. And if you are not there, you are going to lose your spot. And so you look at that's going to be a really interesting battle. And so where does that fade? I think you feel better at tackle with obviously Trey Zuhn. You've got Ruben Fothery, who was hurt last year in the spring game, actually, and then lingered with him the rest of the fall. And so, and then you've got Demetrius Crownover, who has continued to make strides, obviously came into college as a tight end. You knew it was going to take time. And now has kind of grown more comfortable in that tackle position and is a factor there, can certainly be a factor there. And so I think competition's the name of the game, and that's the thing I think you're going to see heading into fall camp. And so I like the way they got linemen out on the move in the run game, kind of got them on some pull blocks. And I thought there was encouraging signs there. It frankly, you know, it's going to take some work there in fall camp to really get things where they want to go, but encouraged by what I saw.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on Bryce Foster real quick because that was the big news from earlier this week. I mean, three-year starter at center for Texas A&M. Former was he five-star? I think he was four-star. Yeah, I think he was a four-star recruit. Everyone likes to pump it up or pump it down depending on if it serves their agenda. But four-star recruit, obviously highly touted, A&M legacy. Did so great in that 2021 season where he was a freshman All-American or freshman or all-freshman team on a lot of those postseason lists. And then he just fell off a cliff as a player, to be frank. I mean, 2022, it was tough for him. He, you know, enters the season with mono. He tears his ACL four games in the season, misses a lot of the offseason of before the 2023 season, and then just really had a rough past season. I mean, I really thought he was the worst center in the SEC, one of the worst centers in the Power Five. If you look at every metric, whether it's how many QB hits he allowed, how many, you know, pressures he gave up, how many, you know, where he ranks in PFF, he was one of the worst. And it's just kind of stunning to see that with how great of a player he was initially and how highly touted he was as a recruit. I mean, after his freshman season, he was being hyped up to be a future, you know, top pick. I think there was a mock draft that came out last year that had him as a first round pick in the 24 or 25 draft. And it just fell off. And honestly, it's no secret why that happened. He never showed, or at least after that 21 season, did not show enough commitment to football. Not going to go into a whole ton of detail there, but it's pretty obvious from just a standpoint. Also, just you can't miss this many practices and not regress as a player. Yeah. Obviously, he couldn't practice last year in the spring because he was hurt, but he didn't even show up to practice. And then this past preseason camp, he wasn't practicing. The Louisiana Monroe game last year just kind of decides to sit out and not play. And then this spring decides not practice. He's with the track team, obviously. But, you know, if you want to develop as a football player and if you want to get better, you can't expect to do that by missing 30-plus practices, 40-plus practices in the last year, year and a half. Just you can't do that, especially coming off a big injury like he was after the 2022 season. So it's not surprising to me. He obviously went into the transfer portal, is going to still try to do the whole football thing. I can't imagine that. I just think that he's going to really have to change his mindset if he wants to be successful somewhere else. But I kind of compared him to Ben Simmons in the NBA a couple days ago, where it was like, man, this guy showed so much promise. Everyone's talking about how he's going to be a perennial all-star. And then for whatever reason, whatever that might be, wow, for some unexplainable reason, he kind of regressed and it just fell off a cliff. And so, you know, for Foster, I mean, I kind of want to wrap up this chapter. It's been a little uncomfortable because
it has. Some
people have just been going after the kid. And, like, I get it. In this circumstance, I understand being disappointed in the guy. But then there comes a point where it's just kind of time to move on, give him a little grace. you never know what's going on behind closed doors. You never know, hey, maybe just not all that into football. I mean, it's his life. He can do what he wants. And so I think people should just kind of move on and go from there. And then as far as the center competition goes, I don't feel great about it still. You know, everyone's kind of like, oh, yay, Foster's off the roster, and now everything's all better.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Mark Naboo hasn't showed yet that he can be a quality center in the SEC.
Yeah.
The Utah center, Coy Feu, he wasn't very good last year. I don't think he would have been the starter for them this season in 2024. So, you know, I think with Adam Cushing, the good thing, the new O-line coach, he's going to be a heck of a lot better than Steve Adazio, who ranks among the worst assistant coaches in A&M history. Like, if we're just being honest, like, that guy was one of the worst assistant coaches in A&M history. And Cushing, anybody, I would have been an upgrade over Steve Adazio. You would have been an upgrade over him.
Yeah.
Adam Cushing will certainly be an upgrade. So I just, that alone makes me feel better about this O-line unit. And then just across the board, like, Trey Zun's back. I think that he should take the next step forward, right? Right tackle, Ruben Fodery's finally healthy again. And by him being healthy, Chase Bisonis gets to slide to guard. And so you're improved two positions there. Armaj Reed Adams has been kind of a revelation this spring. I don't know if he's cemented as a starter at right guard, but he sure looked pretty good in the spring game. I thought he looked excellent. And then one other guy I'm going to mention on the O-line, Cam Dewberry, he's kind of, for me, a sneaky candidate for like, he could have the year this year that Trey Zun had in 2023.
Yeah.
Where everyone watched Cam Dewberry last season and they're like, man, he showed so much promise as a freshman, but he doesn't look great. He's not, he's losing his job to Naboo. He's just not playing all that well. Well, you know, there was a reason for that, much like there was for Trey Zun in 2022. Trey Zun, after that 2022 season, everyone was ready for him to move on and, hey, let's get a new left tackle in there. But what happened was he was hurt that entire 22 season, playing through multiple injuries. And sure enough, as soon as he got healthy in 23, he was a decent offensive lineman. Yep. Cam Dewberry hurt all of the 2023 season. And that was kind of the missing context. And obviously Jimbo doesn't want to talk injuries. And so everyone just assumes that Cam Dewberry is not a good player. No, he's hurt. And so now that he's healthy, I'm curious to see what kind of player he becomes, because that 21 season or that 22 season, when he came in last five or six games or so, he showed a lot of promise. And so, you know, there's kind of a notion that, hey, Bisonis and Armaj Reed Adams, those are your starting guards. But I'm curious about Cam Dewberry, because once he's healthy, I think he could be a pretty good player for this team.
No doubt. And that's why I didn't necessarily come out and, you know, obviously say these are your starters, because I think there's going to be competition there. And that's good. That's what you want. That's three very solid players. And obviously there's others in the mix as well that are battling it out. And whoever kind of hits, you know, their stride come fall camp and wins that job is going to have earned it and is going to have played well in fall camp. And you're going to head into the season, obviously, with a guy who's playing well and you can feel about that group. A couple other newsworthy items I wanted to kind of touch on with you, heading over one more on the offensive side of the ball. It's clear, obviously, you know, since the end of the year that A&M is, or his end of the spring, that A&M is maybe still looking to add one more wide receiver to the fold. Obviously, you've got Keandre Lambert-Smith, who they brought in on a visit over the spring game weekend. He commits to Auburn. You've got Samuel Brown, Houston wide receiver, who led the team in receiving last year, visited earlier this week, is expected to be at Miami this weekend. And so, you know, that's going to be kind of one of those battles that A&M is looking to close out. And then you've got Javarius Johnson, obviously coming from Auburn, who's per Matt Zenitz, is expected to visit in the early portion of May. You think one receiver is what this room kind of needs, or where do you kind of, because I think Noah Thomas and you mentioned this on Twitter and in articles, that that you feel like he's got the chance to be kind of a number one receiver. You feel like one more kind of does the trick for A&M, or how much more do you think this room needs to add?
Ideally, I think two would be great. You know, I'm not trying to be greedy. I mean, I think you can get one really good guy and one just kind of depth guy. Yep. So I think you could make that work. There's plenty of, I mean, they brought in the Calhoun kid out of East Carolina at tight end, just kind of for depth purposes, not going to be a superstar, but hey, he could help you out as having a third guy on the field in certain situations and help you out with special teams. So I think two guys would make you feel a little bit more comfortable at receiver. I want to talk about Samuel Brown, though, because you know, obviously I reported earlier this week that he was going to visit Wednesday, and it sounds like the visit went pretty well, but A&M was not able to secure his commitment during the visit. He's visiting Miami today, I believe, and so that'll be the recruitment to watch this weekend to see how that unfolds. But he's kind of fits that mold of the guy that you would love to have, because he's 6'2". He runs probably a 4.44. He clocked a 4.45 as a senior in high school, laser time at the opening regionals. And so, and he also last season was ranked 8th among Power 5 receivers in forced missed tackles with 20. So he's big. He's fast and he's elusive. Like, that's everything you want in a number one wide receiver. Proven production. Through last September, he was one of the best receivers in the country. Kind of fell off in the second half of the season. But Houston wasn't exactly, you know, a program where everything was healthy and the offense was amazing and all those sort of things. So in a great offense, or in an innovative offense with a better quarterback, with better weapons around him to where all the attention's not on him, you're looking at somebody that could be a 1,000-yard receiver for the Aggies, I think. Now, Noah Thomas, just touching on him real quick. I love Noah Thomas. I think he does have the makings of number one receiver, but I don't think you can bank on that, because this is a guy that has been really struggling with injuries. Last season, you saw it. He tried to play through it, but he, you know, he had the broken pinky toe. He had a midsection injury. Seems like he's the kind of guy that he takes a hard fall in practice and all of a sudden he's out the next few days. It just has kind of been the story for him so far. And you know, he's a long-limbed guy. Like, it happens, right? You get worried about those sort of body types with just getting hurt all the time. To his credit, bulked up a little bit this spring. Had a great spring game. So as long as he stays healthy, I think he can become a number one. And the other interesting thing about him, he, in that spring game, I counted up his snaps, played 45 snaps in the spring game, 44 of them, so all but one of them came from the slot. And last season, only 27% of his snaps came from the slot. So A&M seems to be, and maybe if they get Barber back, maybe it's different, because I know Barber projects to be a slot receiver for A&M. But for now, Noah Thomas, they like him out of the slot, and you wouldn't expect it. He's 6'6". He's 200-plus pounds. But, hey, it worked. And you could get real situationally creative with this guy, particularly in the red zone, where he's matched up against smaller DBs. He's got 7 inches on the guy that is guarding him. So, hey, we'll see if it works. It looks like it's great so far. But, yeah, he's one to watch to be that number one guy. But if you can add Brown in there, I think that really solidifies this group.
No doubt. And we'll finish out with just this, because this is obviously the other big news of the week. A&M goes back to the transfer portal to add another linebacker to the room and add Solomon DeShields, a veteran linebacker from Pittsburgh. Like the pickup, you know, one of the questions, because you obviously the big question, right, is you've got Torian York. He's making that jump to his sophomore year. By all accounts, has just picked up right where he left off last year and been a guy that it seems like every press conference Mike Elko has, he's he's getting the opportunity to kind of praise Dorian York and his leadership and everything that he's meant. Obviously, being voted a team captain for the spring game is an indication of what type of spring he has. But you look at that other linebacker spot trying to replace Edgerrin Cooper, and you know Solomon DeShields is a guy that could certainly fit into that mold and be able to do that and play a little. Maybe you ought to get off the edge and rush a little bit as well. And then you got Damian Sanford, but just what do you think about that pickup of Solomon DeShields?
I liked it. You're really going to have a decision to make at the Will linebacker spot because you got three guys that are really competing for that position, Solomon DeShields, Damian Sanford, and Scooby Williams. Scooby Williams is the guy who's most comfortable with defensive coordinator Jay Bateman. Played for him 2 years at Florida, the last 2 years before transferring here to A&M. Damian Sanford, he's kind of your high-ceiling, long-term potential guy who, you know, I don't know if he's going to be amazing this year, but next year, 2 years from now, he could be, you know, that all-SEC caliber guy that he has the potential to be. He just has all the physical traits you look for when it comes to, you know, having 4-5 speed, sideline to sideline, got a really high vertical, just somebody that would always kind of wow you in those camp settings. And then Solomon DeShields, he's more of your veteran, proven production type, was pretty good in coverage at Pittsburgh. So not a lot of glaring weaknesses with him. But he may not have as high of a ceiling as a guy like Damian Sanford. So, to me, I wasn't all that impressed with Scooby Williams when he committed to A&M. I don't know if he really wowed anybody this spring. He does have familiarity with the system. He is an impressive athlete. I just, you know, linebacker's always been a question whether that's the right position for him. And then with, you know, Damian Sanford, the question just is he ready for this? You know, that was the big question with Torian York. Last spring, it was, hey, this guy looks pretty good, but we sure he's ready? And sure enough, it was. Perhaps that's the case with Sanford. I think he showed enough this spring to where you could feel pretty good about where he will eventually be. It's just a question of where he'll be come August. So those will be definitely a position worth monitoring in preseason camp. I don't know if there's a submitted starter there yet, but – you'd like to think DeShields, just because of his experience, is probably the favorite to win that as of now.
No doubt. Experience always seems to kind of benefit. And you need depth in that room, right? You need guys that things are going to happen, injuries are going to happen. And so I think you feel a lot better coming out of the spring game, having DeShields in the fold, especially after Alex Howard opted to re-enter the transfer portal. Felt like you maybe needed one more body there. And Jay Bateman, Mike Elko, and company go out and do exactly that. That'll do it for today's edition of the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week to break down more Texas A&M football, talk a little bit about this Texas A&M baseball team that continues to roll as well as postseason play is around the corner there, and plenty more coming up. So be sure to stay tuned and be sure to like and share the videos. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you guys soon.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.